Well, there we are. That's a great track, isn't it? I love that voice. That's Dear Heart. It's by Fergus. It's off of his new album, Love Upside Down. I've got a physical copy of that sitting in front of me here. And Fergus joins me on the line now. Fergus, very good afternoon to you. Great to catch up.
Hey, hi, Neil. It's great to be speaking to you.
Indeed, because you're, I've got to just check this, you're based in London, but you're a Cambridge boy.
Yeah, I was born in Cambridge, and I went to King's College School in Cambridge, and I was sang in the choir there, and that was, you know, my first 13 years of my life was spent walking in crocodile formation around Cambridge in a top hat.
Now, you say that about the singing in the choir there, but that kind of answers something already, because Dear Heart, with that, with the organ there, it's very much a church organ type sound. Have you, a lot of people sort of do the choral bit and then go, yeah, no, I don't, that was a part of my life. And well, you've clearly sort of used it. And do you still draw back on what you were taught then?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, inescapable. I think I tried for some years, and but it just had a way of, you know, working its way back in the best way possible. I always appreciate harmonies when I hear them in other people's songs, and it's something that I'm good at doing because I had such great training in, and it would, you know, it's kind of, it'd be sacrilege to waste that training. And it's not really something I planned, but you know, I've always given a nod to it. I don't always have the most easy relationship with that nature of my childhood, you know, but I think I kind of quite like the idea of using it in a way that's slightly subversive, you know, and I've kind of got control over that now, and I'm using it to empower my songs. And Dear Heart was, yeah, I mean, the organ again, it just so happens my producer has a Hammond organ and we'd never ever used it. And it was like, why don't we just use it? So, you know, and it's just funny how it is now, you know, it became a very church-like kind of reverential processional piece. And you know, it's, you just can't, the sound of many voices, I mean, obviously it's all my voice, but the sound of many voices and, you know, organ is just, it's very just austere and, you know, it just kind of, it's just very evocative and makes you feel a different way than you would if it was, you know, originally it was just on guitar, that organ part, you know.
So when you first, just going back to those days, were you sort of pushed into going into the choir? Were you spotted or did you volunteer? Because you've obviously taken on board a lot of what you were taught.
I don't, you know, I think I was at the school, you know, from reception, and the teachers said to my mum that Fergus has a very good ear, you know, when we're singing the hymns and stuff, you know, he's like in tune, and, you know, and I think I was encouraged to audition, and but I think I wanted to do it, you know, so I can't really, you know, I can't blame anyone. It was me. But you know, it's worked out really well for me, you know, and it was obviously a real privilege to do it, even though it was really hard work.
I was going to say, yeah. You're not exactly starting at the bottom, were you? You weren't exactly, you know, you're right up at the top. And so when did you first start to write your own music? Did you sort of take that as a natural progression? It's like, I can use this voice. I can do stuff with this voice. How did that all come in?
It came much later. I think I remember at secondary school kind of starting to write lyrics and stuff, but it was all very, you know, it was all very derivative. And I didn't really have much space to be creative because I was still playing in orchestras and singing in choir. And it's all about, you know, it's all about blending in and not doing anything that sticks out. So it wasn't till after I dropped out of uni and I started to really play guitar and teach myself guitar and start writing my own things. And it probably took a couple of years to start getting to, you know, where the songs started from, was when I started releasing them. Like You Are Nothing was my first one, which weirdly it's actually sounds pretty church-like as well. I think it just took a long time to kind of unlearn some of these things and cast off the shackles of, you know, conformism, I guess, or trying to be an individual and work out who that individual is.
Your parents have obviously been very supportive, because am I right in saying they won a silent auction for you to get studio time with one of Britain's top pop producers, and that kind of must have been a good thing, mustn't it?
Yeah, at the time it was a terrifying prospect, because I'd been trying to, you know, do this for a few years and wasn't really getting anywhere, and I had little to no confidence in my material. And they ended up at this charity event, and there was an auction, and they had been invited, you know, and they're like, oh, we should, you know, really need to bid on something. And then they saw this and they were like, oh my god, you know, we're so random that a long chain of events led them to meeting the person who invited them to that, and it just seemed like it was fate, and they won it. And and you know, initially I was like, it just happened, and I was like, oh my god, and I was like, oh, this is going to be really scary. I was like, this is going to be a disaster. It's going to be a disaster. You know, the songs. Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it happened. And I sent Jake 5 songs in advance. And on the run up to it, I was going through everything I'd ever written, thinking like, okay, well, I can show him this instead, because that stuff's no good. And we met and we really, really hit it off. And we just chatted for 5 hours and we listened to all the songs I'd sent. And, you know, we released two of those songs were the first 2 songs we released, and it was just very, very, you know, just restored this confidence in what I could do. And, you know, we said, I think you can sell records, and, you know, we'll just start out releasing songs, see where it goes. And, you know, now we've released this album together. So it's really a strange freak accident that led this to happening. And, you know, we'll just see how, you know, how
well, I was going to say, a producer will often see things that you're perhaps, you know, you're too close to the music in some ways, aren't you? And someone hearing it from afar will say, right, we can do this, and maybe not even tweak it very much, but it's just do this, do that, and there you go, job's done. You also had COVID meant you fell in love during COVID, and that meant you threw all your old songs away because you were in a better place, is that right?
So it was, yeah, COVID came. I'd written 4 songs that we were scheduled to release. And as you know, and they were going to be the first 4 singles off the album I was writing, which was going to be a breakup album, which was, you know, I would say very, very far inside my comfort zone, because that's pretty much mostly what I'd written about up to that point. And this massive expanse of time appeared that was actually enforced, and I was like, oh, this is gonna be great. I'm really gonna get into it. And then very quickly I met someone online, and we started talking every day, and I didn't do any writing. And these songs started coming out, and I had to like kind of explain them to her. You know, I was really nervous. I was like, oh, it's quite intense, you know, quite intense. And this previous relationship was already, you know, 9 months ago that ended, you know, just because of the natural delay you have when you write something and to it coming out. And so those songs continued to come out, and I was obviously trying to write as much as possible, but I could no longer write about the past, you know, so I started writing about what was happening. And just because of the break and the album wasn't ready, it just seemed natural that these songs would just exist on their own, and serve as sort of a bridge, you know, to the whatever the album's going to end up being. And I'm so, so grateful that this is the way it happened, because, you know, I ended up trying to write happy songs, which is as far outside of my comfort zone as I could possibly imagine being. And I found it very difficult, and I find it very difficult to sing those ones because it just feels really unnatural. And there's like a smugness there that I don't want to, you know, to indulge.
Well, I don't know. Some of the best songs are the happy love songs, you know. You can't beat good love song.
I love listening to happy songs. It just feels weird when it's you and it's about your life. You're like, I'm too much of a Brit in me, I think, with that. And it's just a strange, you know, very lucky turn of events, really, that, you know, I think the album would have been good. It would have been, but it would have been more one-dimensional, and,
yeah.
And, you know, and less for everyone. You know, a lot of people don't like listening to songs that are sad, you know.
Well, I think this is great. This is chill out music. This is sunny day driving to a festival music. It's I love the album. It's got an interesting mix of songs, and given that exactly the reasons why you gave it, it's you coming from another place. It has an authenticity about it, which I really like. I think the songs sound like they're written by somebody who's actually in that place, not just wishing he was in that place. Talking about being in that place, will we see you back in Cambridge anytime soon doing gigs, do you think?
Yeah, I would love to. I've still never gigged in Cambridge. And, you know, it's definitely, you know, with support from people like you, you know, we can hopefully reach some people and they'll come down and we can show them a really good evening of music. You know, I'm just ready. You know, ready to come. My band. And yeah, it'll be a real kind of sense of full circle for me, you know, to perform my stuff in Cambridge would be, yeah, I think.
I'll have a word with the people I know, see if we can't make that happen. It's been wonderful to meet you, Fergus. That album, Love Upside Down, is out now. Dear Heart is being played all over the place. Great music and lovely to meet you. Cambridge's finest. There you go. Fergus, thanks ever so much indeed for coming on.
Thanks, Neil. Cheers.